trying to get started here. Resting in faith. That's what going to be my point for today. But the only way that I can stand up here is I'm a man who totally depends on God. And the Word tells me in Matthew 10, verse 20, that I don't even have to worry what I say this morning, because the Holy Spirit will speak through me. He will use me today. And I believe that with all my heart. So I got a word for you today, and that's what it is. We're going to learn to rest, realize, and rest in our faith. A little while back, I come across, and this is going to be our main focus of Scripture today, comes from Galatians 2 and 20. When I first come across this, and I started to realize I was in a parallel Bible, and I was reading it in the NIV, and then I read it in the King James. And one little word in the King James transformed me. It struck a spark in me. It moved me. It wanted me to find out more about what's going on. And as I did that with my faith, I realized it's God's faith. I don't know about you, my faith sometimes lacks. I'd probably be one of the disciples that Jesus said, "Oh, you a little faith." That'd probably been me. But what I want you to realize today, and I can prove it through the Scriptures, the faith that we have comes from God. God gave His faith to His Son, and His Son gave it to us. I think it's your scripture up there. There, I want you to see the difference. In the first one, Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. That old me, that drug addict, he don't live there no more. The alcoholic that was violent, he doesn't live in me anymore. But Jesus, the life I now live in my body, I live by the faith in the Son of God. In the Son of God. By faith in the Son of God. But look at this in the King James. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Even though I died to my own self, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And just to put a little butter on that with that, it says, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. Knowing I was no good, he said, yes, you are. And you're my child. And it's time for us to realize that we're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. And when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you get everything that comes with Him. Salvation. It's a done deal. Healing. It's a done deal. Righteousness. Already done. when Jesus died on the cross, and he said, "It's finished," he wasn't talking about his life here on earth. Because Christ in the Word dwelt among men. He came to show us that he paid the price for everything we're trying to get through Christianity. He paid that price. In Ephesians 4 and 5, kind of confirms this. I didn't have it up on the screen. It says one Lord and one faith. That one faith is not me. It's not you. That's the faith of God. He gives us a measure of faith in Romans 12:3. He gives it. It's only through him that we have our faith. And I know it's kind of hard to accept because you think, my faith. My faith done me good last week, but it failed me today. My faith, when I trust in myself, many times I fell on my faith. But I can stand today because I believe. I truly, truly believe that God gave us Jesus Christ as a gift. Jesus Christ is a gift to you. To you. How do I know that? One of the easiest verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believeth in him will have everlasting life. So you can't say, well, I got to build my faith up. I got to work on my faith. You can't work on that faith. Like I said, it's a done deal. And if you're looking for healing, it's already done. It's already done. We only have to believe. That was, I think, some of my trouble before for a long time. I believed the Bible. Believed every word of it. The miraculous healing. All the other signs and wonders of the Bible. But I really didn't believe it could be for me. Because I try to separate myself from God. Even as a Christian. God, yes. He is God. He is my Savior. He's Lord. Don't get me wrong. He lives in me. He loves me. He gave himself for me. I know I've been using the me word there a lot, but he loves you guys too. He favors me, but he loves you guys. I had three older sisters, and I used to tell them that, and it got me beat up so many times. Mom says she loves me more than she does you. And it's where I learned to fight, three sisters. Yeah. But there's a lot of times, and I know I'm guilty of myself, I beat God up with people I want to see healed, want to see saved. Day after day after day of prayer, God done heard me. God done it. He sees the end of the problem from the beginning and has took care of that from the beginning, that we can trust in Him. I wrote this scripture down in Galatians 2 and 20 from the NLT, the New Living Translation. And that kind of defines that one word, the difference there. Even talked to the pastor one day about it, and we kind of come to the conclusion in the ancient Greek, they were kind of either way. But I think it's more powerful knowing that I have the faith of Jesus Christ. That's me. That's what I want. So then as we do that, we move over from the law to Jesus Christ. And we serve Him, and we abide in Him through Spirit. I'm a spirit, you're a spirit, we all have a spirit, and it's going to live on forever somewhere. Your destination would probably be your choice. Galatians 2:20 in the NLT. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God. Who loves me and gave Himself for me. And that's what He wants us to do, is to trust in Him. We stand firm with Him. And then we're connected by Spirit. Many a time I've been doing things just throughout my day, regular day. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I drive the same way somewhere every day. But today, the Spirit tells me to turn here. I don't know why. It's not my job to question. I just know He told me to do it. The times I found myself in trouble is when I didn't listen to what the Holy Spirit says to me. So now we're living in the Spirit. Oh, I don't want that no more. Changed my mind on that one. There, no, that's not it either. I lost one. Uh-oh. That Pastor Dylan. I wasn't smart enough to do this, so he messed it up. Okay, I'm going to read it to you then. Yeah. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law. That's not a bad thing. The law was a good thing. I'm not bashing the law today, although it's something we need to live by spirit and not the law, and that's what it's going to kind of show us here. I have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. Again, they're talking about the law. All through the book of Romans, he talks about being dead to the law. And again, I'm not bad-mouthing the law. We just have something more better now. We have something more better. We have a Savior that died for us. The very thing the whole time through the Old Testament they were looking for, we now have. Don't have another one on there. Hey, there it is. Where'd that come from? Wow. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, guys. But yeah, there we go. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may share in his glory. We may suffer here on earth. I can't promise you that you're not. I'd come closer to saying, you probably are. We all are. But we have eternal life to look through Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. God's not looking at you like a dirty stepson or a daughter. You're equal in the eyes of God with Jesus Christ. Does that make you want to puff up a little bit? Come on. I ain't going to get you guys excited this morning, am I? Boy, and I thought that would do it. Joint heirs with Christ. If we would look through the book of Genesis, from Genesis, the first chapter. We just look at the first chapter. You would see in Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Nine times he continued, God said, all the way to 29. God said, all plant. Trees with fruit are good for food. It's good for you. So speaking is a big deal. The things that we say mean something. They have meaning. You can tell a child, you ain't no good, boy. Guess what? Good possibility you're never going to be good. I kind of had this first incident of this I found out last year. My daughter works at a nursing home. And one of the ladies in her unit was one of my Sunday school teachers, her and her sister. I'm talking six. 6 years old. When she should have jerked me up and sat me down, I continue to be rowdy, if you can believe that about me. I know it's hard. But instead of saying that boy will never be any good, she turned to her sister and said, he's going to be a preacher one day. So when my daughter told these two women, they both were there, they just looked at each other and cried. Because they realized what they had spoke into existence. Pretty amazing. When it's really come real to me, my wife and I had quit smoking cigarettes 13 years. Became a Christian. Started smoking again. After 13 years. It always haunted me. It did. It always haunted me. It happened through a pretty innocently. A friend of mine had a baby and he says, oh, you got to smoke a cigar with me. I smoked for 5 years on that baby. Yeah. So, it never really bothered me, even though I was a Christian. I thought, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. And then one day, I realized my body was supposed to be a temple of the God. Then it bothered me. Then it convicted me. And I ran across this scripture. If I got it, there it is. 2 Corinthians 4:13. So I get the bright idea, I'm going to go back to church. I'm going to tell them this. When all the time, Satan was saying, sit down, you're going to make a fool out of yourself. Because I'd read this scripture, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoke. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. So I stood up in front of about 75 people, and I said, I believe that Jesus Christ can deliver me from tobacco like I never smoked before. Why I said that like way, I have no clue. So I leave the church service, and I get in my truck. And I'm staring at that pack of cigarettes laying on the dash. I hear that little voice. Go ahead. Your healing's in the morning. So between Newcastle and Middletown, I smoked 3 cigars. Went home, went to bed. When I woke up the next morning, I've never had a desire for a cigarette ever since. And that was in 2005. Never one effect from it whatsoever, none. Then it just keeps on getting crazy, though, because I said, because he took it away from me like I never smoked before, I had nicotine real bad on my teeth. It was gone within a day. It was gone. Ask my wife, you don't believe me. It was gone. This was in 2005. In 2000, I was told I had emphysema. Later on, COPD. Yeah. It was in 2000. Last year, I had the opportunity to see a lung specialist. He said, your lungs are fine. You don't have anything. Your lungs are fine. Because I spoke that over my problem. If you speak the word of God over your troubles, it'll take you out of that place where you are now. Put it into the realm of the finished. And it comes alive in your life. You don't know how powerful your words are till you speak. We've been quiet too long. It's time as a church that we come together and we speak the name of Jesus over this church today. Today, I claim victory in your life. The Word of God will overflow. We read this morning in Sunday school, the living water. Come to the living water, and you'll never thirst again. You guys come up. Think about what I said today. I preached my heart out to you. Because I love you. And you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've all been struggling for a while. Rest in your faith. Give it to Jesus. Come pray with me.